All right, let's begin our time together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for your word, Lord. Your word transform our lives. Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength, you are my redeemer, and besides you there is no other. So speak, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. All right, tonight we want to try to finish up the book of Numbers. We want to try to finish up the book of Numbers. I know that's a tall order, but with the help of the Lord, I believe that we can finish up tonight the book of Numbers, going from chapter 25 through 36. Numbers chapter 25 through 36. And in Numbers chapter 25, what we're going to see, because of the prophet Balaam, he was unable to curse God's people. Balaam going to come up with a plan. He's going to come up with a plan for God's people to curse themselves. Since he couldn't put a curse on God's people, he came up with a plan that God's people would curse themselves. As a result, the people would not be able to get into the promised land because God was going to judge the people. But we're going to see that even though he came up with this plan, his plan still didn't work because God didn't judge all the people. God just judged those sinful people, the ones that sinned. So God was going to just trim out. In other words, God was going to prune his congregation and take them on in to the promised land. He was just going to use this situation to weed them out and weed out the sinners and then take them on in to the promised land. All right, look at chapter 25. It says, "And Israel abhorred in Shittim, and people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab." Now keep in mind, who was the king of Moab? It was over in chapter 22, you'll read about Balaam. Remember Balaam, he hired the prophet Balaam to come and put a curse on the people. But he couldn't put a curse on the people. But where did he get this idea to send the daughters of Moab among the people? Where did he get this idea to send his worldly women down to the camp of the children of Israel? It was Balaam. Remember Balaam. The Bible says in verse number 2, "And they called the people unto sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their God." Now, I know y'all are Bible way folks, so I got to kind of give you some scripture on that. When you read Revelation chapter 2, verse number 14. Revelation 2, verse number 14. Let me just turn over there right quick. Revelation 2 and 14. It says, God is talking to the church of Pergamos. He says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." So Balaam, right here, Balaam was the cause of Israel's sins. He taught Balak to, if you really want those people to put a curse, since I can't put a curse on them, the way that they can put a curse on themselves is commit sacrifices unto idols and then commit fornication. Those two things. All right, and so thank God for the word. Now let's go back over here to Numbers 25. It says now, verse 2, and they called the people unto sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their God. See, that's the thing about worldly women's. If you want to turn a man, a good man, a godly man, even away from God, then get some worldly women's involved. And I guarantee you, that man, if he ain't really strong in his faith, he gonna allow those worldly women's to turn him away from God. Remember, that's what happened to King Solomon. King Solomon, he failed. The most wisest man in the world, he failed because of worldly women's. The Bible says those worldly women's turn his heart away from God. And that's what's happening here. These worldly women's are turning these men's hearts away from God. And rather than them worshiping the true and the living God, those ladies got them to worship their God. See, you know, Satan still uses some of the same strategies today. I've saw it over and over and over again. I've saw men's in church, but if that lady is worldly, that man will follow that lady right out of his church. And next thing you know, they're not even in church. Now, I see it more, though, with ladies following men. Because we got a lot of desperate ladies today. A lady can be on the usher board. She can be in the choir. She can be doing real good there in the church. But then all of a sudden, you see her start missing church. She start missing church. She start missing church. And then every now and then, you'll see her come with a guy there at the church. But then you see them coming less frequent. And then the next thing you know, they ain't even going to nobody church. They're not even going to, they're out in the world. That's the same strategy. Same strategy. The devil's playbook hadn't changed, ladies and gentlemen. Just like right here. See, if you get a weak man, a weak man will fall for a worldly woman. A weak woman will fall for a worldly man. Yeah, yeah. Every time, every time, every time. Notice, the Bible says, and Israel joined himself to Baal-Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And so, see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So somebody gotta die. And so those that committed these sins, God said, Moses, get them and kill them. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one of his men that were joined to Baal-Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who was weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so we got somebody, we got a man gonna go get his lady. Now he's staying right there in front of the tabernacle, but he don't even care. That's the thing about sin. Sin will make you crazy. It'll make you do some crazy thing. Now, this guy is going to go and commit his sin. He's going to commit fornication in front of the preachers. Right there in front of Moses. Right there in front of Phinehas and the son of Eleazar. The Bible says in verse 7, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it. He rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went in after the man of Israel into the tent and thus both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague was 24,000. And so you see that Balaam thought that he was going to be able to come up with a plan to keep Israel out of the promised land. But we see God just judged the people that sinned. He didn't judge the whole camp. He just judged those that were sin in the camp. And so God just judged the sin in the camp. God keeps his promise. Listen, you can't stop God. Listen, if God says that I'm going to bless these people, you can try to curse them if you want to, but God is still going to bless his people. Somehow, some way, God will get his work accomplished. And because Phinehas took actions, look here at verse number 11. And Phinehas, well, let's read 10. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. And so we see that God blessed Phinehas because he was zealous. Somebody was going to sin right in front of the church. Phinehas stopped it. And so do you see how this thing was growing? How this thing was growing, ladies and gentlemen. It started in the outer camp, but now it done worked all the way right in front of the house of the Lord. See, if you don't go on and stop sin, before you know it, sin won't stop just right in front of the church house. Sin will come into the church house and take over the church. Yeah, sin will come right into a church house and claim that pastor. It'll claim that assistant pastor. It'll claim the preachers, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the president of the choir, the president of the usher board. If you don't put a stop to sin, then sin will take over. As a matter of fact, if you don't stop sin, then sin will stop you. And that's what happened right there. Because they didn't stop sinning. Listen. Somebody in them had to kill them. In other words, sin done stop them now. Yeah. If you don't stop sin, then sin is going to kill you or stop you. Mm-hmm. That's what happened right there. That's what happened. But God blessed that man and his family because he was zealous. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to be zealous for the Lord. Listen, because that man done that one act, Phinehas, because he put a stop to sin, that growing sin, he put a stop to it. God blessed him. Not only that, God blessed his family. Not only that, God blessed his children. His children, God blessed them, and God says, your family, Phinehas, is going to be priesthood forever. Isn't that something? Because of what he did, he set things up for his family. He set things up for his children the rest of his life. All right, that's basically it. And because this was such an actual story, verse number 14 through verse number 18 tells you those people's name, tell you the name of the woman and the name of the man. All right, that committed that sin right there, fornication, right in the house, right before the house of the Lord. All right, let's move on to chapter 26. Let's move on to chapter 26. Now, when you come to chapter 26, what you basically have in chapter 26, you have God telling Moses to take another census. And so we're coming now to the 40th year. So do you see? We done moved all the way from chapter 1 all the way now to chapter 26. And so we're in the last year now. We're in the last year. Look what it says in verse number 1. And it came to pass after the plague that the Lord spoke unto Moses, unto Eleazar, the sons of Aaron, the priest. Remember, he's speaking to Eleazar now because Aaron is dead. He says, take up the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years old and upward throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war. And so you see that he's taken another census. He's taken another census. And then when you come to verse 51, you see the whole number in that census. You see the whole number. Look what it says in verse number 51. He says, these are the numbers of the children of Israel, 600,000 and 1,730. So you got 601,730. That's what it was at the end. Now, what was it at the beginning, class? What was it at the beginning? Look over here in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse number 46. Then you'll see what it was at the beginning. Let's look at chapter 1, verse number 46. All right. Chapter 1, verse number 46. Chapter 1, verse 46, it says, even all they that were numbered were 600,000 and 3,550. So you got 603,550. So you had more, a little bit more, not much, at the beginning than you had at the end. Matter of fact, you lost. They lost 1,820. But basically, what you basically see, the lesson there is that they didn't gain. They didn't gain anything after their 40 year of journey. They didn't grow. They did not grow. So you don't grow when you rebel against God. What a lesson, ladies and gentlemen. You don't grow when you rebel against God. Anything, you're gonna lose. You're gonna lose if you rebel against God. They didn't grow in the wilderness because they rebelled against God. But now, in another sense too, this is almost this is like a miracle though, in one sense. You think about it. God says everybody at the beginning who sinned 20 years old and upward, remember chapter 14, they were sentenced to 40 years out in the wilderness, and they was going to die out in the wilderness. Everybody that was 20 years old and upward, other than Caleb, Caleb and Joshua. Caleb, Joshua, and Moses, and Aaron, they made it on all the way 40 years to the end. But even Moses is going to die. And even Aaron is going to die. Because remember what they done at the water of Meribah. How God told them to just speak to the rock, but they hit the rock. And so we've already looked at Aaron. Later on, we're going to see Moses, how he died. All right, but you see here in Numbers 26, how when they took that census, and they took the census to see who's going to get what. Who's going to get what? That was the distribution of the land in Canaan. The larger tribes They're going to receive a larger portion, and they're going to distribute it also by lots. They're going to distribute it by lot, and you can read about that in verses 52 through 56. But let's go ahead and go on a little bit further. Look at what it says at the end of this chapter, 63 through 65. It says, "These are they that was numbered by Moses and Eleazar, the priests who numbered the children of Israel in the plain of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. But among these there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron and the priests numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun." Notice God kept his word. The promise that he had made 38 years ago, God says, y'all not going to get in. Everybody who is 20 and above, y'all going to die in the wilderness. And God saw to it that they died right there in the wilderness. Now, when you come to chapter 27, what you have, you have how a female inheritance. You have laws that are regulate female inheritance. If there's not, if a man have children, but they don't have sons, you know, the sons were supposed to get the land. But if they don't have sons, then the daughters could inherit the land. So you have female inheritance. You can read about that. And then we see Joshua commission in verses 12 through 23. In verses 12 through 23, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into the mount of Abram and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shall be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes." That is in the water of Meribah, in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which has no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man whom is the spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hands of Moses." And so God told Moses, "Go up there to the mountain, Moses, and I want you to look over. You'll see the promised land, but I'm not going to let you get in because of what you did there." See, Moses had a temple problem, and because Moses allowed his bad temper to get him in trouble, he got so upset with the people, he hit the rock twice rather than speaking to the rock, that he allowed those people to keep him out of the promised land. So Moses is going to die. Yeah, but before he died, I love this prayer request that Moses said. Moses asked God in verse 16, "Let the Lord, the God of all spirits, of all flesh, set a man over the congregation." He says, God, pick somebody else. Don't take me and then just leave the congregation wondering. And I believe that, you know, a lot of churches, the reason they are messing up is because they are setting up these pastors' search committee. We setting up a pastor search committee because our pastor done died, and we ain't, and we don't know who gonna be the next pastor. So we have to set up a pastor search committee. Listen, pastor, don't put your congregation through that. Gone, you see yourself getting old. You know sooner or later you're going to die. What you need to do, go pray. Go pray, just like Moses did. Moses went and prayed and told God, okay, since I'm getting ready to die, choose somebody else. Choose somebody else. Don't let there be a gap between me and my successor. Whoever's going to follow me, Lord, let's go on and put them in place right now. And I believe, Pastor, if you would go on and pray, then you will spare your church a lot of misery and pain. A lot of churches are going through a lot of misery and pain because the pastor didn't go on and pray and get the Lord to show him who going to be the next pastor. I think all of that can be in place. All of that should be in place, Pastor, before you die. Before you die, you need to already have in place who's going to be the next pastor and who's even going to help him. Who's going to help him? But at least have who's going to be the next pastor in place. And so Moses, God showed Moses that it's going to be Joshua. Moses went on and he brought Joshua before the congregation, laid his hands on Joshua, and some of the same honor, some of the same spirit that was on Moses transferred on Joshua. And the church, the congregation of Israel, went right on. And when you read the book of Joshua, you find that Joshua, when Moses died, Joshua led those people right on into the promised land. And I believe that same thing can happen, ladies and gentlemen, if the pastor would go on and make a decision. A lot of pastors, they don't want to make those tough, hard decisions like that. And say, oh, I'm going to just wait till, you know, I'm going to let the Lord pick. No, the Lord can pick right now. He can pick before you die. Before you die, go on and spare your congregation a lot of misery, because a lot of churches done set up these committees that done picked the wrong man, and then they set up another committee, they picked the wrong man, and then they done got a man in there, and now it done took, they done, a lot of churches are having to go to court to get the man out. So you don't want to put your church through all of that. You don't want to put your, I know of a pastor that got in a church and the congregation had to get the police to come in there and get him out. Because after they done voted him out, he still wanted to stay in. So, but that shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. Go on and get everything in order, Pastor. When you look at let's move on to chapter 28. In chapter 28, you got your offerings and the festivals and the vows are reviewed. When you come to chapter 31, you got vengeance on the Midianites, you know, because they was the one that they sent those Midianite ladies in there. And they took revenge on that. And then chapter 32 through chapter 36, you have in chapter 32, you got the Trans-Jordan tribes. You got two of the tribes of Israel are so impressed with the land on the east side of the Jordan that they decided to stay on that side. And so You got two tribes that didn't go all the way into the promised land. They liked it on this side of the Jordan River. But then you have the journey reviewed in chapter 33, 1 through 56. And then in chapter 35, you have the Leviticus cities and the first 8 verses, cities that was set apart for the tribe of Levi. And then you have the cities of refuge. The cities of refuge was set aside. You had some cities that were set aside. So if a person committed a particular crime, they could flee to that a city before the avenger get them, before the avenger. Because a lot of times with family members, you kill somebody, family member, that family member going to go over there and kill you. But you could, if it was an accident, a lot of time it was a manslaughter case, it was an accident case, but you could flee to that city and get a fair trial. You could get a fair trial. You could stay there until the high priest died. But read that, but that's basically it. This book of Numbers have taught us many lessons. Hopefully you can see one of the lessons I take away from this book is that God is not a God of confusion, but he's a God of law and order. That's one of the major lessons that I take away from this book, that God is not a God of confusion. He spent the first 4 or 5 chapters lining it up, how the children of Israel ought to march. He just didn't want a chaotic kind of thing. He set it up. What was going to be the first tribe that was going to march out in the journey? What was going to be the last tribe on the journey? God is a God of law, and he's a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. And another big lesson that we've learned, and hopefully you'll learn this, is prayer can save sinners. Prayer can save sinners. Over and over, like I said, study this book again and look at the times that Moses failed on his prayer, face, and how Moses just interceded for sinners. And that tells me prayer can save sinners. Yeah, prayer can save sinners. All right, that's it. Thank you for joining us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you once again for this lesson. Take this lesson, use it to bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.